This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Dan, probably the only person that got what I just said. That's okay. Other than my brethren, hardcore Rush fans, probably got that too. Meredith Kane is here as well. So, listen, Tommy Tighe for the Miami Heat, the pre- and post-game host, will join us at 11:20. Daryl Ryder at noon. Steve Jones at 1 o'clock. Cavaliers clinching a playoff spot. Not one of those little silly, hey, maybe you can come to the party invitations as far as being in the play-in tournament. No, they're in the shebang, man. They are a top six team in the Eastern Conference, and they said last night, boom, we're the team to beat. So they
real,
are
real deal.
Real deal. So it's very exciting. They're in the playoffs. Seems very, very early, but that's okay. Right? Not a major surprise.
No, we expected.
Thoughts on last night's win? Let's start there. 112-107.
Good game. You know, Miami's not the team it used to be. Cavs jumped out to a big lead and kind of gave it up. But, you know, games come and go. Leads come and go, as the Cavs have seen in the last several games. What, 22, 18, 15, they were down, came back to win those three. So the winning streak continues. I just keep looking at this thing and thinking, when do the playoffs start?
Yeah.
Because right now, Andy, there's very little to accomplish the rest of the way except stay healthy and make sure nobody falls off the face of the earth playing-wise.
Are we worried about these peaks and valleys they've had like in the last four games?
Yeah,
where,
I am.
You know, they go down big, then they go down big again, they have troubles, and then all of a sudden,
yes.
Boom, and then last night's game you're talking about, having a significant lead and then letting it slip away.
Yes.
Well,
yes, that's simple.
If you go back, the interesting thing about last night's game that they weren't able to do in the last couple games was they were able to jump out to a lead in the first quarter. They were up four at the end of the first, 36-32. And then they tied the next two quarters. I know it's weird. Sometimes we don't ever watch a game that way, but when I go back and try to get perspective on what we've seen and watched, it is kind of they won. I mean, they won or tied every quarter last night, for whatever that's worth. But the biggest thing was I was watching them struggle out of the gate the last couple games, especially in a game like Boston. You're like, man, really? We're going to start out that flat? Or maybe that other team is that good? And as Jeff said, if you were a Celtics fan, you're like, well, why wouldn't you feel bad? You're missing two starters, and you just kind of got disinterested in the Cavs because you had that gigantic lead. And then all of a sudden you gave the Cavaliers the opportunity to bounce back, and the Cavaliers utilized their bench in that game against Boston to really propel them to a nice win, a major, major win for the Cavs last night. So you do have concerns then about these peaks and valleys. How do you flatten them out?
You just play more consistent basketball. It's a silly answer, sorry. But, I think it's bad when you fall behind by a ton and then try and catch up. It's not a good recipe for playoff success. And it's also not a good recipe for playoff success to get a big lead and cough it up. All that said, Andy, it's human nature. I mean, these guys have been so good all season long. I just think there needs to be a little bit better focus, you know, as they get closer to the playoffs. That's it. And the playoffs aren't that far away, you know, but they've been focused all year long. You know what I mean? It's tough to talk about this team in the regular season because it's been so good. As far as like,
and you don't
what's
come
wrong,
off,
what's right.
Yeah.
No, they're playing great.
Like, you don't want to come off as a whiner. Yeah, I was listening, again, I picked up a lot of little things this morning, but I was just listening to the boys coming in. And, you know, they were talking about Darius Garland this morning.
Yeah, Jeff, Anthony's all over him.
Yeah, and it's just like, okay, you know, is it looking for a reason to be mad at him? Looking for a reason to say, oh, that's why we wanted to get rid of that guy last year. Why we wanted to get rid of Darius Garland. And I'm like, I don't know. Kenny Atkinson seems to have figured this thing out. Yeah, you may see tendencies of like, oh, well, someone feels like they've got the need to take things over, but they only have 10 losses this year. What is there to complain about? Other than the fear, I think that's what we have now. It's not even complaining. It's fear of a 7-game series.
So you can actually have legit basketball conversations if people want to go ahead and think they're legit. What I mean by that is this. Okay, Cavs have fallen behind in 3 games, you know, this last week. Is, you know, that's a little bit of an issue. Oh, no, blah, blah, blah. Then you're just complaining. Well, no, you're really not. You know, you fell behind by a ton, and then you managed to come back and win those games. How'd you come back? Are you significantly better than the other teams, or did they get bored? Or were you just bored early? Because if you're bored in the playoffs, you're going to be home quickly.
But isn't that scary to think that a team in the NBA is getting bored? Especially a team like the Celtics.
It's human nature that the Celtics, you know, let up in that game. They're up, 25-3, for God's sake. But you kind of figured the Cavs would come back. You know, it's been such a good season for the Cavs. I honestly think, Andy, it's only human nature that they're not going to be quite as focused right now. I mean, their lead is huge. I mean, on top of playing as well, their lead is bigger than it's been all season. So human nature is, we got this. And I don't think they've given in to that. They've just had some moments where you might think that, you know, they've not paid as much attention. I think they'll have that taken care of by the time they get to the playoffs. But you better. You know, I mean, people don't want to hear this either. I think there are other teams that can knock them out other than the Celtics. And people don't want to hear that. And that's why you better really have it locked in by the time you get to the playoffs, even in the first round.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't expect anybody to beat him in the first round, but you better have it locked in.
Mike's in Mayfield. Hi, Mike. Michael.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike.
Good to have you with us.
Mike, put you on hold. Let's go Bill in Parma, friend of the show, Bill. Hi, how are you, Bill?
Hey, Archie. I tell you what, I feel the love every morning. I want you to know that when I call.
Did you hear Barnett yesterday?
Well, Jeff, you mentioned it yesterday. I tell you what, it was. Of course, he said it's right. When he went, it was Parkway.
There you go.
Parkway, north, south, east, west, you know, all that kind of stuff.
It's but like anyway. Living in Pickerington or Olentangy these days. If you're in Columbus, they have the same issue. They're building high schools in all different directions.
Every different direction. But, you know, I was blaming myself last night for their cold spell because, for some reason, when I listen to it on the radio, the Cavs do really good. So last night I said, you know what, I'm going to turn it on and watch them. And, of course, they went 0-10 from 3 towards the end of the second quarter.
It's on you, Bill.
And yeah, I know, and it's all on me. I really mean it. I don't know why, and that's usually when they get into trouble. Is when they've and that's usually when a lot of NBA teams get into trouble. Is when they fall in love with that 3-point, and then don't go into the paint. And then, of course, everyone knows if you go into the paint, the chances of getting a basket are high. But it also opens up the outside shot more. And so that is the only thing. And listen, for me to even think about any ideas other than what Atkinson thinks is ridiculous because he's a great, great, great coach. But it always amazes me how this team can get focused on 3-pointers and then kind of lose their game plan a little bit. I think in the playoffs, if they do that, it's going to be really difficult because I do think they have strength in the inside. I mean, what do you guys think? Have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks, Bill.
teams that live and die by the three-pointer live and die. Now, Boston is even more so than the Cavs. And we talked yesterday, Andy, one of the most impressive things to me is that the Cavs haven't fallen off the face of the earth when it comes to their shooting. They're still on top. But three-pointers scare me in playoff series. Sometimes they'll win it for you real quickly, but, man, it can go south fast. And that's why I agree with Bill. I love seeing Evan Mobley. I love seeing Donovan get to the basket. Love, you know, the short passes inside, alley-oops to Jared Allen. I just want to continue to see a pretty well-rounded offense. But the Cavs have been shooting more threes than I wouldn't say more threes than I'd like, because they've been doing it well. If you do it well, great, but you better have plan B in case you're not.
All right, let me go back to
And I think they do.
Let me go back to the up and down theory we were just talking about there for a second, about, you know, the big leads and getting a big lead or letting a big lead. Do you think that this team right now, because they've had so much success this year and 12-game winning streak now, are they playing with the switch? Are they playing with the, we can play with anybody and we'll just turn the switch on?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know that I am either. A buddy of mine was talking to me about that. He's like, I don't know. You know, they're a really good team. They've been a really good team all season long. But, you know, right now it kind of feels like they're playing with the switch. And I was like, I didn't really think about it. I just don't see them as being that team. I don't get that vibe from Kenny Atkinson. Again, this is one season with him, so I don't know what the true vibe is for the team. But I don't – when I hear him after the game and when I hear what he's saying and when he gets legitimately – concerned about certain issues, I tend to believe him. I think what he's saying is, because I think I always appreciate a head coach that says things. You watch a game, right, and you see the issues, and you're trying to figure out why your team is winning or losing, and then you go to sit down and watch a press conference afterwards, or you listen to what the coach had to say the next day, and if they echo what you were thinking, I tend to believe those guys. A lot of times, you know, you get guys just, we got to do this, we got to do that, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of things Kenny's saying, whether it's good or bad, seems to hold true. I think that's why I trust him. And I know it's early in his career with the Cavaliers, but I based on what he's saying and what we're seeing, that there's a level of trust right there, and that I don't think this team is trying to flip the switch. I do think, though, they could. I don't want to believe it, but I do think that they could be a team like that. I don't want them to be a team like that, but if they get behind, they know they can try to throw that switch and get back. Boston is not one of those games you want to do that in, but they did.
I do think there are some other teams in the East, and that's why you can't just be focused on Boston here, and you can't just worry about flipping a switch against one team. I mean, you're going to have to bring it in the playoffs. I truly believe that.
All right, I want to talk about Kevin Love a little bit later in the show. When we come back, Tommy Tye, Miami Heat pregame and postgame host, another super friend of the show, joins us next on Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. When we talk about the Miami Heat and what's going on in the NBA, there's one guy we love talking to. Without a doubt, Tommy Tye, who is the Miami Heat pre- and post-game host, is right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tommy, how are you, our friend?
Good morning, Tommy.
Is that me?
Winning that playoff berth.
Tommy, I got to ask you a quick question about this, right? So we have a quarterback up here from Miami. What's the weather down there today in Miami? Because it's cold here today, and we're thinking
Hold on a second. Let me look. I was going to open the window before, but the AC is blasting in the house. Probably about 84, but it's going to be a cold spell. I know you guys in Northern Ohio love hearing this. We're having a cold spell tonight when it goes down to, I think, 58. So
we're all getting good ready. Heavens.
I got my parka out. I'm ready to go.
Because we're very concerned about Cam Ward not liking the weather here today, because obviously if he left in the 80s and he's hanging out in Cleveland today. It's just we're worried about that. That's Chamber of Commerce not doing their job.
Exactly. That's the guy you're going to go after?
I don't know. Jeff and I both like him. If he's going to be here, we'll take him at two if he's there. I'd be okay. Can he be a quarterback for more than, I don't know, one season and not destroy the salary cap for us? If so, he's a qualified candidate for me.
There's no question about it. I do like his talent. You know, he's made a lot of comebacks. This season, Miami found itself with just a poor defense the entire season. And next thing you know is he was bringing them back from 2-3 touchdown deficits time and time again. So he's an escape artist. He is definitely mobile, that's for sure. He can throw the ball a mile. So he's got some good qualities. There's no question. He is a very mobile quarterback. If that's what you're looking for, I think you might be in the right ballpark area with him.
See?
Thank you, Tommy.
Tommy doing double duty for us.
Multifaceted. We'll pay you extra for the football analysis.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tommy.
Well, once upon a time in another life, I used to do football, I was led to believe. But go ahead.
Yes, indeed, you did.
Oh, we know you did, yes.
On the Westwood One radio network, Tommy was kicking you know what.
Killing it, baby.
Fabulous. Tommy was doing that when I first met him.
Really?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Love listening to you do that. You were phenomenal.
Was Jeff getting you coffee, Tommy? Was that the point?
We met in Miami.
Yes, we did.
Yep. Absolutely. It was fun
he
stuff.
He saw my pass and said, "You got to be kidding. That ugly guy is Tommy Tighe. That's hard to believe." He definitely is built for radio. That's for darn sure.
That's not what he said. He bowed down to you. He was like, "Hey, that's Tommy Tighe. I listen to him on Westwood One."
Tommy's phenomenal.
I don't remember it any that way. I really don't. I know it was at a shoot around for the Cavs and the Heat back when the Heat were the story in the league, but not anymore. If he came to a shoot around these days, it'd be me and him. That's about it.
Tommy, why is it when I think of the Miami Heat, I still think of a team that can go in and beat somebody? So, for instance, the Cavs are sitting pretty. They're in first place. They've been the best team in the league for a good portion of the season. And I still wouldn't want to see Miami in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, I think you would, to be honest with you, Jeff. Looking at your team and the way that would match up, I'll be honest with you. I think we're out in three. But I just have an idea in my mind that Eric Spoelstra is what he is. I don't have to pump him up. Most people in the world understand who follow basketball how good a coach he is. He will adapt to whatever situation it is. And last night was a perfect example. Give him one day off beforehand. You guys had a back-to-back. And he just was able to concoct a game in the mud the way that he likes to do it, with defensive matchups that really bothered your team probably more than a lot of teams have done over the course of the season, which give him credit for that. But we just don't have enough bullets down the end of the game. It happens so often with this team that they'll be in a lot of contests game after game. And before you know it, the fourth quarter comes around. And I understand a 7-point lead with 6 minutes to go is not nirvana in the NBA these days. But still, there are so many times this team gets caught 40 minutes into the game. Fabulous. Those last 8 minutes just continue to kill them. And here's another example. A better team beat them down the stretch. That's been happening all year.
Tommy, what are your thoughts on the Cavs? I know we're just knee-deep in it, and we're like everything looks like it's rosy, and we're looking for stuff to kind of, I don't know. They blew a lead last night. They had to come back, you know, against Boston the other night. They had to come back against Portland the other day, too. So, I mean, like, we're kind of in the we're in the trenches with this stuff. I'm wondering what it looks like from the outside.
I think I like a lot of your personnel. I really do. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on with you guys. Mm-hmm. I do like the backcourt, even though they don't play that well at times against Miami. I love the two guys up front. And your bench has really been playing well. And Andy DeAndre Hunter has really been a really nice thing, because you end up playing against the team that you expect to play in the Eastern Finals if it gets to that point. DeAndre Hunter could guard either one of those players, Brown or Tatum. And I think that would be really different than what it's been in the past when you guys do get to the playoffs. But you've made the right steps. You got to the first round, disappointment. You get to the second round, you had injuries, again, disappointment. I think you're on the verge right now. Now, whether or not that puts you over the top, there's still a lot of people that think Boston is still the team to beat, even though Cleveland's had a phenomenal regular season. I disagree. I think you continue to win the close games. You blow a lot of teams out like you did Chicago the night before. I think you have that capability there. The difference is you haven't been there before. I think that could be the only thing that hurts you. And the only way you learn by that is experience. Boston has it at the moment. You don't. But that don't take anything away. I think it's going to be a great series if you two meet.
Tommy Tighe joining us from the Miami Heat Radio Network. Hard to believe. I had to think about it last night, Tommy. Kevin Love back in Cleveland for the first time since he left.
Yeah, it hit me crazy last night.
Yeah, it was strange. How has he been in Miami? Because he went from being kind of the scapegoat here for a while to being beloved, I think, by a lot of folks. And it was great to see a great reception for him last night.
Oh, I loved it, to be honest. Well, I wish he was in the building to see that. Our time with Kevin Love so far, from the moment he stepped in here in February of 2023, you had guys falling all over him like Duncan Robinson, Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent, Max Strus when he was here. They all learned so much from him, to the point that in the Eastern Finals that year, Jason Tatum said, "I wish we had a guy like that." They tried to get Joe Johnson back. Not that that would have been the same difference as Kevin Love, to just be that 14th or 15th guy on the bench, sort of that sage mentor type of player, even though you're talking Brown and Tatum and some talented Celtic players, because they realized that he'd had that at the end of the bench in Udonis Haslam. Then they added Kevin Love. So you have so many guys who are able to play the game, obviously at that level, that show so much to the younger players, even though they aren't playing as much. as they once did, of course, they still share so much championship DNA that both of them had, and it was invaluable to the Heat. Boston never got that guy. Joe Johnson never showed up on the Celtic roster, and of course they go on and win the championship last year. But if every team could find a guy like that, and as difficult as that is, if you can get one to be that type of player, it will help immensely. The Heat love the idea of having it, and that's why they enjoy Love so much. He only plays in spurts anymore, as you guys know. 13 minutes in last night's game, 12 in the game before, and he hadn't played in a month. But when he does get out there, he's still grabbing rebounds like it's 2014. So I give him an awful lot of credit, because when he gets out there, it's not great, but it sure as heck is pretty good.
Tommy, do you think he's a Hall of Famer? I do, and I have for some time.
Seeing some of the guys that I see get into the Hall of Fame, I know what he said last night that really impressed me in the locker room. I guess you guys heard it, that the Cavs have already told him they're retiring the number,
yeah,
which kind of surprised me a little bit. And then in another way, I thought, no, for what he's done for that franchise, not the least bit surprised. Do I think he's a first-year Hall of Famer? No, I don't. But I do think you match up his numbers, Jeff, back in the day with the Wolves and then what he did for the Cavaliers. I would have to think somewhere down the line, maybe 3-4 years into it, I think he deserves to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be it. You'll have two Miami Heat that will end up having their numbers retired up here in Kevin Love and then LeBron James. It'll be weird.
Yeah, we're wondering about LeBron ourselves. You would think that that's the case, but like Shaq, I think Pat made Shaq wait a few years. And then when he did retire the number, he said, it's the greatest move we ever made by getting a guy in there. But, you know, there weren't great feelings when he left. When LeBron left, I get the same feeling with Miami, that when he finally does leave the game, you know, 10 years down the road after Bronny gets out of the contest, you know, The next thing you know is they'll probably figure that that'll be the time that number 6 goes up to the Raptors. But, you know, that's just the way that it is. He, to me, is one of the most important players they've ever had in this franchise.
Yeah, it'll be a nice way to sell out a couple games if they're struggling for attendance. How's that sound?
We've sold out like 800 games in a row. Come on. We don't have a problem with that. This is on the court where they have their problems, not off the court selling.
Tommy, I don't know who might knock off the Cavs, if anybody's going to knock off the Cavs. Boston, obviously, the team to beat along with Cleveland in the Eastern Conference. Who else do you like? Is there anybody else in the East who you think has a chance to knock off the Celtics or the Cavs? And obviously the Knicks come to mind, but do you think the Knicks can do it? Can anybody else do it?
I watched the Knicks the other night, to be honest with you, Jeff, and after seeing what they've done in some of their games against you guys, against Boston, and against Oklahoma City, where they haven't beaten any of them, I get the feeling that the toughest team is Milwaukee if they're on their game. I love the Kuzma pickup for them as much as I like the Hunter pickup for Cleveland. And with Giannis and Lillard, it all depends on that one key word, health. Because when they're out there playing at the top of their game, I think in a 7-game series, that's the scary team that's the one that I worry the most about if I'm one of the top teams. I still think Boston and Cleveland will get to the Eastern Finals. I'm not going to go like Charles Barkley and jump out on a bandwagon and say they're going all the way to the final game to play Oklahoma City. But I get the feeling that if I had to go in order, I wouldn't put the Knicks ahead of Milwaukee, and I don't think I'd put Indiana up there as well. I put those two guys, Boston, Cleveland, 1-2. And then after that, it's a slow process down to try to get to somebody else. But if I had to pick anybody else, I think it'd be the Bucks.
All right, Tommy, let's have the ex-wives conversation about what's going on in L.A. right now. And to see what Luka and LeBron are doing right now, now they're in second place in the West. Mm-hmm. I'm just your thoughts on what's going on in L.A. and, you know, Luka and LeBron together.
Well, I've never been a fan of the Lakers unless they played the Celtics. But I'll tell you, everybody seems to have a thing like when Kennedy got shot. Where were you when Luka got traded from Dallas to the Lakers? It's so surprising to me, even now when you watch him out there, for some of the reasons that Dallas said. And now they lose Irving, so that team's completely out of the whole situation after being in the Western Final and then going all the way to the NBA Finals. I'm with you guys. I'm still surprised. I really am. I didn't think they had the supporting cast, to be honest with you. When you're looking at two tremendous players like them, can they carry this club all the way through that they can be the team in the NBA Finals out of the West? Maybe they can. I don't know. They seem to be meshing well together, and LeBron speaks for himself how brilliant he's been. And Luka, it seems to be a decent matchup, at least so far. I don't see it slowing down in any 7-game series. So would it surprise me if they get all the way? If you asked me this 2 weeks ago, I would have said, sure. Right now, the more I see them play, no, I'm not that surprised anymore just because of the brilliance the two of them show on the court.
Do you think Dallas just completely thought, Tommy, that he was going to self-destruct and, you know, physically, whatever, or they just didn't think he was worth a $300-some-odd million investment, because the trade makes no sense unless that's their rationale. Would you agree?
I don't buy the idea, Jeff, with the being in shape, that type of thing. I do buy the money. That did you think he was worth that type of cash in the future for our franchise? And you're fine. You want to think that. I mean, these owners run their franchise any way they want, some poorly, some great. And if that's the decision you have to make, you're going to have to accept the fact that you just picked up Anthony Davis, who hasn't played with them, and then they got a number one draft pick, and hopefully that turns into the next Luka or a top five type of player, or this thing's going to be one of the worst trades in the history of the NBA.
Yeah.
But I wish I could say what I think Dallas is thinking. I just find it mind-boggling that any time I've always thought about this in any sport, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, hockey, whoever gets the best player in the deal wins the deal. Lakers win the deal. I don't care what. Anthony Davis is a phenomenal player at the end of his rope, and he's pretty much been hurt most of the season, even though he's been very effective when he plays. But how many more years are you going to have Anthony Davis? Luka could be the face of the franchise for that group for 10, 12 more years.
Yep.
And put up numbers that are just going to be absolutely phenomenal. And people are going to look at that time and time again, like when Babe Ruth got sold to the Yankees by Boston, and it just ruined the franchise for how many years? Almost 100 before the Yankees became what they became? I think it could be that phenomenal a deal for the Lakers and send it in the opposite direction for the Mavs.
Mm. Tommy, as always, you know we love talking to you. Thank you very much. Send us some warm weather and maybe a quarterback or two. That sounds good.
Tomorrow's dipping down, guys. I'm sorry. I mean, we're only going to go up to 65, I hear.
I'll send you some hand warmers. You just smack them together and it'll be great.
I could use them, believe me, especially on the drive down to the gym. I'll be doing it.
All right. Goodbye, Tommy. Thank you.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate
Thanks, Tommy.
It.
Tommy Ty, nice to have you join us pregame. Host for the Miami Heat on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Daryl Ryder is going to join us in less than 20 minutes. We'll talk about the Browns with him at 216-474-0092 if you want to hop in on the conversation. Last night, Cavaliers, big winners against the Miami Heat. It does seem weird, though, Jeff, that is that really the first time Kevin Love has been back? Like, I kept asking
myself. It felt strange, but yeah, that was the deal.
It was odd. So, you know, they did a really nice little video. I thought what was really cool was, you know, we were watching the pregame on ESPN last night, and when Tristan Thompson and Kevin went over to Richard Jefferson and was calling the game on TV, and they started giving him the business while he was on the air, and they were hugging him, and they were kind of goofing around with him. I thought it was awesome. Like, I don't know, it just took me back to the Cavs winning the championship and how much fun that team had, and how those guys really, I think, appreciated each other when they were all playing together. And then, you know, we always appreciated Kevin while he was here. I don't know that he got the credit maybe that he deserved. But
I think he was underappreciated when he was here.
I always loved watching him play, and yeah. I always respect him for changing his game for when he got here. I mean, look at Kevin Love body from Minnesota, and look at Kevin Love body from Cleveland, and you see how all of those things just kind of took a turn while he was playing for the Cavaliers. And
you mean that, body of work?
No, body, like his actual body. Oh, remember how big he was?
Well, but he had changed that in Minnesota.
Yeah, no, I know, but just like I think of him as big Kevin Love in Minnesota and little Kevin Love in Cleveland, even though that had changed. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Kind of.
GQ model Kevin Love came to Cleveland.
Yeah.
And didn't hurt that his wife was a model,
big
too.
Big college kid from UCLA went to Minnesota.
So, but the thing that he said after the game, I think, is something that hit home for Cavalier fans, too, that he said that the Cavs had plans for his number 0 to one day be in the rafters of Rocket Arena, specifically next to Nick Gilbert, which I thought, you know, it was pretty cool that he said that, too. I mean, Nick was around the team all the time.
Should his number be there?
Yes, it should. And so should Kyrie's, and so should LeBron's.
Agreed.
And that's about it off that team. Do you have anybody else you would think needs to be in the rafters?
Off of that team? No.
Yeah, well, let's start with off of that team and then maybe move into a different position. Because, I mean, obviously Nick's name was the last one to go up there, but we're talking about players, right? So
I think Kyrie's number should certainly be retired here. I think LeBron's number, of course, will be retired here. And even though Kyrie's departure was not on the greatest terms, I would still think that he's one of the greatest players this franchise has had. So I would retire his number. And same thing with Kevin Love.
Yeah, the last one to go before that was Z. Remember? And that turned out to be a very influential night in LeBron coming back to Cleveland. Because it proved to him, especially after the nights where things were ugly when he came back with Miami,
come home,
that he would be embraced mm-hmm. to come home. And, you know, for that whole thing to play out, I think it was super interesting. And it was an odd turn. And I didn't feel bad. Didn't Pat Riley want to accuse the Cavs of tampering or something at that point? But then Pat Riley didn't want to be. I don't know if you am I wrong, Jeff? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
Did he? Or did he imply? Or was there like this whole, hey, how did that? And it just so happened that the Cavaliers were playing, they were doing the retirement ceremony
yeah.
on a night that Miami was off. And
it worked out well.
Well, I still remember Pat Riley having an in-depth dinner conversation with LeBron about retiring Michael Jordan's number league-wide.
Yeah, that worked out.
Yeah, that. So I'll never forget that little play. So I don't have it. It
was, hey, wasn't if it Chris, works, it works, man. It worked for him.
Wasn't it Chris Grant that kind of orchestrated that whole thing? I think it was Chris Grant that, yes? Does that sound right to you? I remember being around it and going, hey, you know what? Chris deserves a little credit for this because he kind of made this whole thing happen. I remember standing in the hallway when I saw LeBron and Dan Gilbert kind of pass for the first time. I was like, whoa, weird moment here. Weird moment. Let's see how this thing plays out. I like it. So and when you look at the retired numbers that are up for the Cavaliers, you know, Z was there. Go back to the era before that, Brad Daugherty, who's now calling the games on TV, Mark Price, Larry Nance, and then before that, miracle guys like Nate Thurman, Austin Carr, and Bingo Smith. So, you know, and Joe Tate's up there too. So, you know, but you think about, I think more about the numbers and the players. But I don't you agree, if all those numbers are retired for the Cavaliers now, truly three guys that were on a team that won a championship deserve to be up there as well. And I think Kevin deserves to have his number up there too. And I like the fact that, you know, Kevin was, you know, obviously treated with respect last night, and the Cavaliers did a nice job. And I think he was humbled by the experience. And it was also a reminder, not only for him, but for Cavalier fans, that, you know, how long has it been? Was it 9 years? It's been since they won the championship. So
it's been longer than you'd imagine, huh?
Yeah. It feels like it was yesterday, though, in a lot of ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, actually.
Hmm. Kevin, speaking of Kevins, Kevin's in Cuyahoga Falls. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. Hey, I was at Sunday's game as well. I thought the memorial to Nick was done extremely well. Tipped the cap to the Cavaliers. That was very respectful and very well done, and you know, everyone had a nice time watching it.
Yeah, the Cavs do things right. I mean, when it comes to doing things classy, they always seem to get it right.
I agree 100% with you, Andy.
Yeah.
Yep. And then last night, I thought the tribute to Kevin Love went extremely well. I think you're right. I mean, I was sitting there with my boys, so we saw on the Jumbotron, they played some really nice clips of some important plays he made on that run. And then they, you know, he came out on the court, and everyone gave him a really, really resounding clap and a cheer. He, you know, gave us the nod to the crowd and stuff, and I thought it was very well done. And also to the Cavs' credit, they put Tristan Thompson on the jumbo and announced him as a member, and then also Richard Jefferson. They put all three of them up, but I thought the kind of the tribute they gave to Kevin was pretty well done, and I agree. He got a really big clap. The place was pretty loud, and he got a really good cheer, and I was really happy to see that the fans were, you know, as happy they were to see him. So, yeah, he didn't get a ton of minutes, but, you know, he played pretty good, and I guess sort of the funny comment is my oldest son looked at me and goes, "Wow, Dad, he's got a lot of gray hair now, doesn't he?" So, it's, you know, it's been a few years since we've had a ring in this town. And the gray Kevin Love kind of reminded us of that time has gone by a little bit.
Kev, he deserves to have his number in the rafters, though, correct? Can we agree on that?
100%.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I also agree with the comment of I think during his time here, he was a little bit underappreciated. And I think but for him, we would not have won those championships. We needed all three of them. And I think Kevin was an integral part of that team on its run. And if Kelly Olynyk wouldn't have pulled his arm out of his socket, I, to this day, still say we would have had two rings instead of one.
I think Jeff agrees with you.
I don't think there's any question.
His eyes light up every time we have that conversation.
Throwing Kyrie's injury.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Those
Kevin,
are two big ones. Yep, those are two. Keep up the good work, fellas. You're doing a great job.
Appreciate you, Kevin. All right, so is there anyone that would argue the fact that Kevin doesn't deserve to be in the I think he does. I'd love to hear the argument on why he shouldn't be. And you know, what is the threshold to make sure that your number should be? Like, as much as I like Nate Thurman, and he was an influence on me when I was a kid, and I loved watching him play for his little time that he had here. I mean, he just looking at the numbers, you know, he averaged 5 points and one rebound.
But that wasn't numbers. That was
right.
That was impact on the organization. The miracle of Richfield doesn't happen without Nate Thurman. And he taught the Cavaliers how to win, that they could win, that they were good. And it was the real birth of this franchise. And that's why he's up there.
Yeah, the line I'm reading here, as I just said, you know, about him, because I think some people might look. You know when it really hit me, Nate Thurman's impact on the organizations, when the Cavs were in the finals, and I was lucky enough to be out in Oakland when the Cavs were playing against the Warriors, and you look up and you see Nate Thurman's name and number hanging from the rafters there. And then it kind of hits you. You're like, if you weren't old enough to kind of sink it all
Nate
in.
Nate was a stunning basketball player. I mean, he was really good. Now, when he was with the Cavs, it was at the end of the line. But he was one of the dominant players in the NBA. His numbers are silly. Silly good.
I think
it was his impact on professional basketball in Cleveland as to why he's in there. And it didn't hurt that he's from Akron Central High School.
Sure.
Central Howard.
But I also, like, is that the the bar for having your number retired?
No, but I mean, it was, you know, it's not like he just showed up, you know, like no disrespect to Smith. JR was great. JR helped the team win, but JR and hundreds of other players on this team didn't have the impact on the organization, on the fan base, on the psyche that a guy like Nate did. And that's everybody always says, well, Nate barely played here and blah, blah, blah. You know, in working with Campy Russell and Austin Carr for years, he taught us how to win. Without him, it doesn't happen. All I needed to hear.
I'm also wondering, Jeff, is there anybody else that deserves to be up there? Because when we look at it, it's just the two, there's the three eras, right? Well, it's two eras now.
Yes, World Be Free deserves to be up there.
Yeah, it'll be the third era. Yeah, I buy that too. He saved the franchise too.
World Be Free was phenomenal here. And it's the same type of thing. He was only here, what, 4 years, I think? But without World Be Free, maybe they're in Toronto earlier than the Toronto became the Raptors.
Would have been the Towers, right?
Was one of the ideas.
The Toronto Towers. I'm trying to think of another argument for another player to have their number be hanging from the Raptors. And by the way, is it more, and I know you are not going to want to be a part of this conversation, so I might as well look at Menegan. Is it more impressive to have a statue, or is it more impressive to have your number hanging from the Raptors? I actually think, and I have a theory on this too, but go ahead. Yes.
Statue. One is cloth, the other one's stone. One takes longer to make.
Jeff? Oh, heavy sigh!
Statue. There are no statues for the basketball team.
No, but that's coming. LeBron's got to have a statue. Come on. LeBron has to have a statue.
Civil War generals have statues.
Jeff?
Basketball players have paychecks.
Jeff? LeBron deserves a statue outside that arena.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
I'm also not a big fan of retiring numbers. I'm not.
Well, don't go to Boston and look up.
I know. I'm all about names. Like, I think your name should just hang from the rafters. You can put your number underneath it and the number that you wore while you're here. I just think at some point we find, like, Ohio State has an issue with this, too. It's like, at what point do you run out of numbers? At what point do we look at sports and everyone's going to have to wear numbers in the hundreds because we're running out of numbers? Now, basketball's a little bit different.
Look at the Yankees numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same thing.
How many single-digit numbers are left there?
I don't know. Any? I don't think any.
Daryl Ryder, next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.